PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes to listen to his shit.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
How's it going, guys? Welcome to a super cool episode of Cinema Crespediso. Oh yeah, let's start with music just a bit.
Super cool and smooth. How smooth are you, Chris?
I'm feeling so smoother than a baby's bottom on a Sunday afternoon, wading in the waters of Jesus, baptized in his innocence.
Sounds oddly sexual.
Current threat level is white. Dismiss your protests. If a threat level has never been more 2018, that one is it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here chilling in the studio. We also have this button. That's for our fallen podcast comrades out there.
There are lots of them.
Wherever and whoever you are and will be. I mean, let's be real. A lot of people listening
be
right
real
now.
Reals here.
Be reals here.
Fired up.
He's doing all cameo covers. How you doing, be real?
Doing good.
That is an awful be real impression.
What are you talking about? Mr. Real, this guy is saying you're fake. Is he be fake?
Mr. Real, there's something wrong with your voice.
How do you talk to... If someone's name is Be Real, how do you address him formally? Mr. Real.
Mr. Real,
Mr.
I guess.
Mr. Be Real.
Mr. Real. I'm not sure if it'd be Mr. Be Real. That's kind of... that's very...
Right. These are the societal issues that we will get to the bottom of. And
we will tackle them.
And we will tackle them. And that is why Cinema Crespediso is the number one resource for people to... For their societal mores, mores, etiquette. We're really big on etiquette on the show, as well as formal dining. We know where to put the forks and the knives, etc.
I have no idea what to do with that middle-sized fork.
The
tiny ones for salads.
Yeah.
The big ones for the meats.
Right.
What the fuck to do with the middle one?
That's for your aspertifs, for mixing in with the lime into the and then doing the modeling.
No, that's a super tiny one.
No, that's
like, it's a cocktail fork.
I just know that it goes from smallest to biggest.
I just want to know what the middle fork's for.
And as you eat each course, you go from the right to the left using each utensil. Yeah. So you just wait. When you get to use the first utensil for the first course, they take it away. Then you sit there. You dab gently your mouth with the napkin on the corners. You don't wipe. Never wipe, always dab.
Always dab.
And then when they bring it to the next course, it's like, oh, it's for the consommé. Because they throw some cephalopod in there.
Consommé is just a clear soup.
All right, that's what I'm saying. There's some cephalopod in there. So, yeah, that's what the fork is for. Because it's moving.
It's live.
Have you seen that there is a dish that they do? It's you put a small squid on a bowl of like rice or whatever or something. And then like it... Right there, like you cut off the head of it, and then the head's already decapitated, right? You put it on there, and then you put soy sauce on it, and the soy sauce makes the tentacles, the salt makes it move.
I've seen that.
Yeah. It's pretty weird.
I mean, squid's kind of chewy. I'm not really a fan.
I'm not a fan of how smart they are.
I mean, yeah. They're smart as fuck.
They're crazy intelligent, maybe smarter than us.
They can open jars.
There's a possibility that they could be just aliens that crash landed here billions of years ago into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And just live down there because they can. Because
that's where they live.
Yeah.
Man, they scared me. Yeah. Like, they could choose to take over one day if they could just get over that whole water pressure thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to need some pretty awesome weapons.
Like an Aquaman. There better be some sort of battle squids, battle octopus, and they better be like the generals and the admirals. I hope of their now, this water army.
They're the ones. They're the technical ones. They're the Asians of the.
he air quoted Asians on that one. People, it's an audio show there.
Exactly.
Yes, if we were going to... Okay, Drew, this is a great idea. Let's do a racial breakdown of the Animal Kingdom and Aquaman leading up to the movie, because surely that's how they thought of it, too. So, yeah, for sure. So if the squid cephalopod people are if they're the smartest, and then stereotypically the Asians stereotypically, are the, supposed to be... All right, so they're the, so that makes them the control room people and the engineers. Okay.
Exactly.
Yes. So then the sharks. What are sharks?
I would think that they'd be more like... There's just like those clean-cut white dudes that are just like so gung-ho about America.
Marines are like the Marine types?
Yeah, I'm definitely.
I'm digging that. Yeah. All right, what else we got down there? I only saw the trailer a couple times.
They are the hammer.
Is there some sort of like giant crocodile thing?
I mean, we're totally underwater here, so we need some sort of like crab tanks.
Crab tanks?
I'm sure they're crab. Because, you know, crabs got hard shells, so I'm sure they're very tank-like.
Crabs, hard shells, tank-like Germans.
This is the Germans.
Those are the Germans. These are the Germans crabs. Clink, 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 clink.
The Blitz crabs, yes. If you will.
The Blitz crabs are coming. What side are they on? Ooh.
You never know.
Manta. It's already established in the movie. Manta.
Yeah, there are Manta is sorts.
But then the Black Manta.
Oh, yeah, with laser eyes.
Is a black guy.
Yeah.
Right? Or is that another character?
I don't know.
Which one is...
Who's the black guy?
There's two bad guys in the movie. Black Manta is one of the characters.
Yeah.
I don't who can he I have a photo in my hand. I can do this like weird here. Let me see. What's his name? Night Owl.
Oh,
he's got a weird haircut in this movie.
Yeah, what's his face? I don't know.
This is why people come to the show so they can hear us
I don't know.
Look, Patrick Wilson. Right. That's
yes. There we go, Patrick Wilson.
But there's another guy. Yeah, he plays someone else. Jimon Honsu. No, he just plays a fisherman, dude. There's another character in this movie. Anyway, the mantas, manta rays, stingrays.
Yeah,
they're Africans, black people. There you go.
Yeah,
Spanish people will be all the lobsters and shrimp because they're also. Now I'm just thinking Cajuns, Little Mermaid.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, I think you're mixing in your Little Mermaid lore with
actually,
Aquaman.
Actually, see,
now.
Little Mermaid already solved a lot of our.
Caribbean, yeah, the Caribbean crabs.
They already solved a lot of our issues with what were our. Okay. So I think we've broken it down. We know now when we see the Aquaman movie what to expect when these different factions come together in battle. Disney should definitely. Disney, DC, Marvel, whoever should definitely hit us up too. Continue this racial profiling of their major in order to make sure all the right races are presented for representation purposes. True, nothing cynical about it.
That went.
It's all about the dollars.
Real fast.
That's what it's all about, man. And that went south. Was ever going north? All right. Well, we don't have a streaming pick of the week, ladies and gentlemen, because the randomizer 9000.1
is gone forever and broken.
It's broken.
It's done.
When I sent it back to the manufacturer for like what was it, the fourth time, they gave me a call and they're like, "Listen, this thing, you poured apple cider vinegar into it." I was like, "Yeah, I was told that's how you clean these things out." They're like, "No, that's not how it works." And
so you broke it.
So it's gone.
It's gone forever.
So stay tuned next week. Perfect timing for episode 300. We will have an updated randomizer. It's in the works. I'm having it commissioned by I found him on Craigslist. I mean, I'm trying to cut some corners here, but he says he has PhDs.
I highly doubt that.
I tried Googling the schools. He says they're really small schools.
Craigslist
I can't...
PhDs.
Yes, he is a Craigslist. Oh, was that the school? Was it Craigslist University he went to? He was talking about. I already front him the money. He already has the money. He is working on it, though. I'm getting pictures,
Chris,
of the... Like, he's sending me photos.
Because you are a poor business.
Look at this picture. Look at this. See this? Look at this box. You see this box? See that?
I've seen that box.
And it's got knobs on it there. You see these knobs?
I've seen the box.
Right?
Do you twist the knobs? To make the box warm?
I think they're knob twisters. I think they're twisty knobs.
Does that make the box warm?
He hasn't actually demonstrated the box yet. He's just showing me pictures of it being made.
He's got pictures of a box.
It's coming, though.
You don't know the actual box.
You'll see it. You'll see it next week. I'm gonna pop it right here on the table.
Table box.
And then we'll be able to poke the box all we want and make it work. It'll be exciting, Drew.
All right.
So instead of streaming pick of the week, then we'll just do what you're watching, because that's a pretty good filler. That's just what you been watching? Anything? Video game? Anything? Listen to anything?
Music and something? I reread Boxed Spider-Man game because Tomb Raider got it's very adult and dark and like kind of a downer.
Oh, like, really? Interesting.
People die and horrible things happen and like...
It's not fun.
Well, no, it's not that it's not fun. It's just, I kind of need a break. That's all.
Oh, sure. So you...
So I was at the Publix and the Red Box was there. I was having fun with Spider-Man before. So I picked it up again. Got a little bit further.
Drew, do you think this is because you're getting older? You're not having as much fun. You're not getting as much, not necessarily fun, I already use that word. You're not getting as much enjoyment out of delving into a world of such darkness and despair actively in the video game world. Now, do you want to scale back from an R-rated game into a PG-13
game? I don't think... I definitely enjoy delving into R-rated experiences because they're more real to life and less fantasy-based.
Sure.
And I kind of
gives you a different
enjoy that in video games.
Gives you a different perspective on the world that you know.
But, you know, I mean, depending on what's going on in my life as well, I mean, that can definitely... I mean, you know, you're going through dark times. Sometimes you don't want, you know, dark imagery and
you don't want
things
that
around you.
Right.
Maybe instead of looking for the something dark as the escape, I'm looking for something a little bit lighter as the escape time around.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So...
Sometimes look at the world around me and I want to watch Children of Men to help me make sense of it. Sometimes look at the world around me and I want to watch Ernest Goes to Camp to get away from it all.
Exactly.
Understood.
Yeah. We picked up Spider-Man.
So that's what happens when... I do think, though, it is obviously because we are getting older and, you know, we're getting more experiences and we have more perspective and we know what's, you know, we have actual responsibilities and stuff, and adulting sucks, and this whole funny thing we call life. That's when it's all said and done, it's like, why did we do that? Why did we do any of that?
Because at the time figured it was important.
At the time we figured it was important because we had no choice but to do it.
Yeah,
so that was the segment within the segment, which we call the Chris's existential crisis.
Chris and Drew's weekly existential crisis.
That is pretty weekly. That's just Cinema Chris, but he's
Also,
Spider-Man game I got.
I caught
you're a PS4 guy now, right?
Doing that's what you're doing. I have both.
You have both, but you're playing it on PS4
because it's only on PS4.
Okay, I did not know. I did not.
It is PlayStation exclusive.
Okay, did not know that. I should have known that, but I did not.
Actually, I had a buddy Elijah, last time he was over at my place, saw me playing Spider-Man. Thought it was on Xbox. Went to, called GameStop. Said, I want to reserve a copy. And paid for it on the credit card. And went there. He was like, hey, I want the Xbox 360, on the Xbox One version.
Yeah.
Dude looked at him and like, you're a fucking idiot. It doesn't exist.
That would have been me. Well, I wouldn't have paid for it over the phone with a credit card, but that would have been me. Yeah. I'm like, damn it. Well, then I'll buy PlayStation 4, I guess.
Anyway, it was fun.
That is fun.
It is fun.
Let's play the game. All right, what's you done? What you watching?
I never saw the Man from U.N.C.L.E. when it came out in the theaters.
Henry Cavill, Army Hammer. What was her name?
Alicia Vikander. Army Hammer doing an awful Russian accent.
As, what's his character's name? His character's crazy name. Ulia...
Something.
Ulia. I'm gonna look up. Keep talking.
I don't know. Anyway, Henry Cavill trying to play... I guess...
Do an American James Bond.
I guess, yeah. But it wasn't... I don't know. For some reason, it didn't work all the way for me. Like, I just don't know what it was.
I agree. It's like, it felt like it had a lot of pieces in place. It's a Guy Ritchie movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a Guy Ritchie movie. The action scene was done in... All the really cool action was done in that one montage cut sequence. All done in really tiny pieces, moving around each other.
I don't remember that part.
Anyway,
I only saw it the one time in theaters.
Yeah, because it wasn't very good, Chris.
Well, I guess not really memorable is what it is.
No, and at the end...
I forgot Hugh Grant's in it, Jared Hess.
Yeah, there's a weird car chase at the end with a motorcycle, an ATV, and a Jeep. For some reason, the Jeep drives through a lake for no fucking reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
it was
yeah, it's it, a ridiculous movie.
It was really weird, and I'm really glad I didn't have to pay for it and see it in theaters.
What you watching on?
I don't know. It was something on TV. There were commercials involved.
Oh, it was on TV.
It was on the television.
Okay.
There were commercials involved.
All right, so there you go.
I was very high.
So that's...
It was still not good at all. But I was like, oh, man, I never saw this movie. I wonder.
But it does, because of all the talent involved, it does have, like, moments here and there.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see where this could have been something, or why people agreed to make this thing to begin with. But
I mean, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, at the end it is.
But yeah, at the end of the day, it was...
I agree.
Man, and it set... The end of the movie is totally set up for, like, sequels to be made.
Yes.
And I'm like the team is so glad.
The team is together now.
I'm so glad they're not going to ever make any more of these movies.
The only reason I even knew about or had any interest in this when it was coming out was because my dad, growing up, would tell me about watching this TV show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and how much he liked the German character and all that stuff. And I don't know if he's ever even seen the movie. I wonder. He probably hasn't forgot about it, like everyone else.
Exactly.
Sir, okay, so I'm right. The man from the man from whatever U.N.C.L.E. stood for.
I mean, Alicia Vikander was the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah, she was, and her fashion.
Yeah.
Those big old glasses, mm-hmm. dresses,
yeah.
dancing around
yeah.
while drinking.
Mm-hmm.
That was good stuff.
It was.
Cool. Anything else you getting down with this week, or is that it?
That's it.
That's what I had time for? Speaking of movies, catch up on movies, I caught up on something. The Hurricane Heist.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
And
it's ridiculous. It's
of course.
Yeah, it's a piece of crap. It's, but is it, like, bad enough to,
yeah,
be,
to be good? Yeah.
Barely. Mm. It's, you could do other stuff while you watch it.
Okay.
Put it on and do other things. It's, all right, like, in the beginning of the movie, when the storm, it's first you see the brothers when they're kids, and it's Hurricane Drewster Cogburn, 1992.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole movie takes place in Gulfport, Alabama. And it's Toby Kebbell, who's English. So I guess every now, whenever he does an American movie now, he just uses the same southern, terrible southern accent. Except for Doom, anyway. And
Doom was an all... whole different sort of bad movie.
Yeah, that was a whole different thing. But this is something that would happen in Doom, where that would expect in Fantastic Four, where it's the beginning, the Hurricane Andrew is bearing down on everyone, and on the kids, and they're in a truck, and they're like their dad throws them in the house, a corn silo gets ripped off and rolls over their dad, kills the dad, rips the house off, the roof off the house, tilts it. The kids look up at the storm, and the storm like has
a face,
like a demon face, and it looks down at them, and it's like, yeah. And it roars, and it's like, oh, and then at the end of the movie, as they're like driving away from the storm, from the eye wall of the storm,
how do they kill the storm?
Face is like,
how do they kill the storm?
They don't. They just have to live through it. They can't kill the storm. It's Hurricane Andrew. Oh no, the new storm is Hurricane Tammy, which is
how do they kill it?
They describe it as being it's like a category. It's like the craziest Category 5 ever, possibly a 6. But when they throw out the actual numbers and stats of like when. Of pressure and all that, it's they describe a tropical storm, except for wind speeds. Where they say the wind speeds like 600 miles per hour, and that's like Hurricane Katrina topped out at like 200. Like so, yeah, that's impossible.
What the fuck?
Literally impossible. But it's a type of movie. That's what the movie is. It's stupid. It's dumb.
It's impossible.
Everyone's bad in it. Everyone's bad in it. Maggie Grace.
Did they at least heist? Was there a heist?
There was a heist of stealing. The heist is on stealing. Money that the government is set to destroy. Old money. Yes. So they the bad guys show up. Instead of shooting everyone, they trank everyone. They have guns. It look like guns. But then they go... Like the one guy pulls out a gun, puts it in the dude's face. The first guy. The first time you see a gun, puts it in his face. It's a like snub nose 357. This giant handgun. It looks like he's about to blow his face off. And then he goes... And this tiny little dart hits him in the neck. He's like, ah! And then it's the type of tranks where people get hit and then they go down immediately, like within a split second. Mm. And some good ice coffee there. And it's bad. The storm effects are terrible.
Of course they are. Dude, I'm Hurricane Ice.
There's a lot of water. There's seats that are obviously set like on a
green screen.
Not green screen.
Blue screen.
A set. Like they made a set like a
they
like
built,
a, like
they
a back
built
lot.
A set.
Yeah, like a small one. Like a little, like one street.
Yeah.
Like they used a back lot, so everything behind them is blacked out. Yeah, they put a little money into it. It's Rob Cohn, who's directed Forever. He's done his most successful films have been the first Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
Bruce Lee story.
Which are like the most unsuccessful of the entire franchises.
The first and second one. The first three, yeah, mm-hmm. which is funny. And but he kickstarted the whole thing. And what else has he? His biggest movies, I'm trying to think specifically. Because he's done a couple that are like at least have been seen by a lot of people. Not necessarily good. Anyway, Hurricane Heist. Ugh. Rob Cohen. Mm. I saw it on Hulu? I think so. Another thing. I'm listening to that Lil Wayne.
Oh, the new one that came out, the Carter 5?
Have you heard any of it?
Yeah, man. It's
pretty good, man.
If you say so.
I think it's pretty good. I've listened to about a third of it so far because it's freaking an hour and a half long. Like 23, 25 songs, something like that. Yeah, the Kendrick Lamar song is really good. Mona Lisa. The one Don't Cry with XXXTentacion. Have you listened to that one? Did it make you cry? It said no. Don't Cry specifically.
No.
You didn't cry?
I didn't. That's good. I haven't heard it.
Oh, you haven't heard it? Man. It's a good album, man. It's good stuff. It's crazy. It's 7 years between albums. You think like, oh, shit. Did Lil Wayne get left behind in all this? Can he contribute?
I don't know. Can he, Chris?
I think he did. It's pretty good, dude.
I mean, if you say so.
That's what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying.
I disagree.
I mean, why? But you barely even listened to it, though. You said you haven't listened to Don't Cry. No. That's the first song on the album.
I listened to the one with Snoop Dogg. I just went through and, like, checked a couple tracks with people that
yeah,
I knew
that were
on
there. Yeah,
the one with Snoop Dogg. I don't like the beat. Same thing with the
it's
one.
It's a remix of the Explosive beat from Dr. Dre's 2001.
I don't like it.
Brutal. It's so, it's all jazzed up. Damn it, it's good stuff. I'm listening to you would love this, Drew. I'm listening to a podcast called Las Cocholistas. And it's a podcast based out of New York.
Okay.
A couple of dudes who just talk about culture. So they do, they're trying to give people what's best in culture and all that. So they listen to episodes on, like, RuPaul's Drag Race finale. There's one on American Idol. There's one on... It's a couple years old already, so I'm listening to old episodes right now. So I listened to one about Ellen a bit in the year 2016 wrap-up. It's kind of fun listening to a culture podcast from 2 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about all this stuff that we used to care about for a minute.
For 1 second.
For exactly 1 second. Yeah. Long enough for someone to record a podcast about and put it out and other people listen. And now it's 2 years later. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about all that stuff. Anyway, I'm trying to catch up on it. I think it's a funny show. Las Cocheristas.
Interesting.
So, box office recap, Drew. You got any numbers for us over there?
I do.
Where are we starting?
Starting at number 13.
All right.
Searching.
Ah.
Made $960,000 for a total of $24
million. $24 million. Pretty good. The highest grossing thriller ever with an Asian lead actor in America.
Interesting.
Also, the only thriller ever in America with an Asian lead actor. Isn't that weird? 2018, first time that's happened.
It is.
It's taking a long time, racist Hollywood, to get your shit in order. So Searching, for some reason, had excellent reviews, Drew. Did you see the trailer for this one? I saw the trailer once.
I think so. It's the one with the... Yeah, where it's kind of like all on the computer screen, and he's...
It's all on computer screens.
Yeah.
Yes, it's that type of movie.
Exactly.
Yes, all computer screens, or news footage, or, you know, it's got to be some sort of camera in the room type of scenario. Almost a found footage type thing, like a next level found footage, right? They've already done a few of these movies. There's one with Elijah Wood called The Den, where everything's all from the perspective of a computer screen. And
there was that, Unfriended, where the horror movie was all done in, like, the windows.
Yes, and they had the horror sequel, it is a horror film, but there's the sequel, The Dark Web, Unfriended 2, Dark Web. Did you see that trailer?
No.
That's one where someone's, hey, I found a laptop. Or someone left a laptop in his coffee shop for a few weeks, so I claimed it. And then it's like someone from the dark web. He's like, I want my computer back. And then he starts killing people one by one. Because they found like he has videos of people in cells. I don't know. The dark web. The dark web. Oh, shit. Okay. So I was like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of these type of gimmicky movies. Just give me the story, you know, just tell me a good movie, that type of thing.
Just tell me a good movie.
Just tell me, just show me a good story.
tell me a good movie, show me a good story.
Listen to me a good tale of despair and woe and joy and happiness and all that it entails. And Drew, I was surprised when the Rotten Tomato score was so high. It's like in the low 90s. Mm-hmm. And the average rating is like a 7.2, 7.5, something like that.
Really?
Yes. So I was like, I'm going to have to... Well, also, it was a weak movie for... A weak weekend for movies. The big movies that came out this weekend, very poorly reviewed. So I was like, you know what? Why would I waste my time with that? Maybe I'll go see something that actually people seem to like. So I went and saw Searching Drew. And when the movie started, and it's like... The opening of the movie is like a Microsoft... screen opening up and someone establishing a profile, and it's like a slow pan of a cursor and typing in information. For the first couple minutes, I was very annoyed by the presentation of the movie. I was like, if this is what the movie's going to be, I may have made a
horrible mistake.
Yes, precisely. So what then happened was it does establish, or they set up a profile. What they're doing is they're setting up a profile for the youngest kid, and she's a child. Her name is Margot. It's a simple, you know, mom, dad is John Cho, daughter, so the three profiles, and then just going through a montage of them like taking pictures of the kids and put them in folders. They did a whole montage of the family for like 6-7 years, and they covered it over the first 5-7 minutes of the movie. And you know what it is, without saying exactly spoilers or whatever, but for the setup of the movie, it's a lot like they very closely studied the opening montage of Up.
Really?
Because by the end of the montage, I was like, whoa, this is effective. This is really well, like, done.
This worked.
This is actually coming together really well. And that was just the setup of the movie, just establishing the father-daughter relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then the movie starts with first you realize that the dad's a psychopath because he records everything, tapes everything. He's very connected to all the internets and stuff. But then also at times is weak, weirdly unaware of certain things. And daughter isn't responding to text messages or phone calls or anything, goes missing. So the whole movie is then him searching for her, getting the cops involved. And, you know, no spoiler, spoiler-free review. I will say, Drew, that it is interesting how this movie does. It takes a second, but it does escalate in some surprising ways. It goes further than I thought it would.
Okay.
In several directions. Mm-hmm. The twists and turns along as you go, because, you know, as I'm sure any viewer, like, you're watching a thriller. Say you're watching something like The Game.
Yeah.
You're trying to piece it together.
Yes, you're like, all right, so this is happening, and that's happening, and that's happening. And oh, my God!
Yes, you're given the clues just like them. You're like, well, how does this fit? Where does that fit?
Yes.
So just like John Cho, you're trying to put things together. Mm-hmm. And then the movie does get to a point where you're like, it's almost like they give you all the puzzle pieces. At one point, they like put most of the puzzle together, and it's starting to look like a thing. And then they smash the puzzle, and you're like, what? And then they throw in a whole bunch of new puzzle pieces, put it all back together. And it's like, oh, this all makes sense now. Now I see why this is all, it all comes together at the end.
Okay.
It's satisfying. A lot of times, that's the thing with movies like this. I'll use this as an example. Just of this mentality, like The Hangover, where they go through the whole weekend, they're following this clue, that clue, do this, do that, and none of that mattered, because the whole time the dude was just on a roof. They just pranked him, took his bed up on the roof of the hotel and left him there, and everything that they did had nothing to do with any of that, right?
Okay.
This is totally different, where it's like everything does lead up properly, and it all adds up, and you're not given a bunch of bullshit. It's just, it all makes sense. It's very well done. I understand now why it's well reviewed. Is it necessary to see it in a movie theater? Nah. How much did it make, though? $24 million?
Total?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
So, it'll be on streaming services in like 2-3 months. If you have the Amazon, the Netflix, something like that, it'll be worth it.
It'll be worth checking out?
It's worth checking out. It's surprisingly well done. The way that it's stylish. Even with the limitations they set upon themselves for presented it in this fashion, they still found stylish ways to, like, you know what they did a few times, which is really cute, especially for anytime a character had to look at an emotional... John Cho is great in this, by the way. He's really good. Anytime someone had to look at like an emotional video or something, they will like be watching a video and it's like sad music playing or piano music or something, and then they like minimize a window, and behind that would either be like a YouTube video or a Spotify list that says like relaxing piano music. So a lot of times they explain like why there's certain music playing in scenes. It's really funny.
That's hilarious.
But then there are other like scenes and montages, key moments where the music is non-diegetic, where it's just on a soundtrack and not like playing in a scene. So they go back and forth. They cheat with their rules, which I appreciate. I appreciated the cheating in this case because it worked. Hmm. So searching. Not bad. Not bad at all, people. Definitely recommend checking it out.
I mean, it's been out for 6 weeks, so
yeah,
it'll be on DVD soon enough.
These things take about 90 days. The window is 3 months, so November-ish? Mm. November-ish, December-ish, towards the end of the year. Christmas stocking stuffer. Searching. Oh, yeah.
Number five this week.
It'll be the feel-good movie of the Christmas season, Drew. No, yeah, search for your daughters with your daughters.
Number five this week.
On
The Nun.
On Blu-ray.
Made $5.4 million. Total of 109.
You could do a double feature with that in The Nun for Christmas Eve. You can watch Searching and The Nun. I'll watch The Nun and then Searching. Go up with you. Having not seen The Nun, it is the worst reviewed of all these Conjuring James Wan-produced movies.
Well, it's made a bunch of money, so good for them.
So then that means they're going to find another character. What we got to do, Drew, is come up with our own movie series where we have one hit movie that makes sense,
and then
we find weird, disparate elements to break it off, right? Yeah. So
as long as they crank out $100 million each, yeah.
And we come on low enough budgets.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah, but that's like five movies in. Yeah, our first movie has to have like a $7 million budget.
Who's going to give us $7 million?
Well, once we sign on, like, who are we going to sign on? Once we sign on Dan Stevens to be the bad guy, people are like, okay, now you got my interest. Here's $2 million. Cool. And then, well, great, and now we can go to another person and be like, hey, we got Dan Stevens and $2 million. We need some more money because
because we're paying Dan Stevens a bunch of it.
So we need a movie franchise. If horror is big, they really screwed up the shark thing with the Meg. We can't go that route. I'm going to go back to cephalopods. They're very scary. Squids are very scary. So let's do...
Squidmen.
Aquarium movie.
Squidmen from Mars.
Haunted... Okay. Squidmen from Mars crash land in an aquarium. In a haunted aquarium. All right? Because ghosts are so big. But I like Squid Man. Is he an actual man, or
do you
want to go?
Or do you want to do Cthulhu? He's got Squid Face.
Sequel. That's a sequel. At the end of the first one, he opens a portal. Squid monster tentacles come out of the clouds.
Uh-oh. What do we do?
Dun, dun, dun. To be continued in the sequel to Squid Men from Mars 2.
No, just think humans, but with Squid Face.
Humans with Squid Face. I was thinking... they're in like humanoid suits. They look like they're humanoids, but maybe they're with squid face. But then, yeah, when they open up the suit, they're just a cephalopod. That's like maybe they're operating levers and stuff.
I'm cool with that.
So then, in the sequels, though, then we have to branch stuff off, right? So while we're making our Squid Men from Mars movies that are set in the haunted various haunted aquariums around the country, Baltimore, here in Orlando, and everything, maybe SeaWorld, which is on SeaWorld. There we go. That's for the sequel. For the Cthulhu sequel. Yeah. We'll do prequels and sidequels and all this stuff. So we'll do the radiated starfish sequel, right? Where the crash-landed squid men, they irradiated the park as they got there. So then the starfish corner, they become sentient, more sentient. They have mouths and talk.
Yeah. We can have the Krabby McCrabberson movie.
The Krabby McCrabberson movie.
Oddly enough... has nothing. He's actually the janitor.
He's
the janitor.
It's like a fly situation where the janitor was just working. He was in the crab tank scrubbing it out. Again, during the crash, it's like Flashpoint. During the crash, he got irradiated with the crabs, became a crabman. Krabby McCrabberson is our horror comedy spinoff that we do to try to bring in that audience, because he's like sort of a bumbling Ace Ventura type of thing.
Of sorts.
Yeah, he's a janitor during the day and a janitor at night, but while he cleans, he solves mysteries at the park. So see, already we have our main Squidmen from Mars franchise just chugging away. At this point, we're at like five of those movies. They have gone back to Mars. They brought aquarium technology back to Mars and everything. It's fantastic. It's huge. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy meets Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole meets The Goonies. It's all this together. Just a lot of screaming and space and squids. We have our irradiated starfish men that's they're doing their own horror thing on the side where they have broken out from the aquariums and they're just taking over towns, gremlin style. And then we have Krabby McCrabberson and his, you know, pet detective type sequels. That'll be the TV show that we do and the cartoon series for kids that airs on Disney Pay. I'm sure that they will love to get in on some of
Number four this week.
So that's Drew, how you come up with that type of... So Krabby McCrabberson will have like a $22 million. we'll get Tyler Perry.
Number four this week, A Simple Favor, made $6.6 mil, total 43.
It's a good movie.
That's what everybody says.
Everyone says it. And that's another one where like the reviews were pretty good. And I was like, all right, well, let me seize for myself. And
you saw.
I can confirms.
And you confirmed.
I said, let there be light, and they turned the movie on, and I watched it, and then I said, it was good. That's a Bible reference.
Number three this week.
You see, Drew, people like religion. Go ahead.
Number three this week. The House of the Clock in its Walls made $12.5 million, total 44, on a budget of 42.
42, moderately okay reviewed movie. Good for Eli Roth making one for the kids. So I got nothing else.
Number two this week, Smallfoot, $23 million.
I saw this on a tweet. I follow this Twitter account that's like just box office facts and stuff. So Sunday morning, it's like a good time to tune in, check out, see what they're tweeting. This is Warner Animation, WAG. Their most successful movies are the Lego movies, obviously. Lego movie, Lego Batman. But then they still put out tons of crap. Remember the Storks movie?
Vaguely.
Aha. Uh-huh. Storks made $26 million opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a type of opening reception we got here. If it wasn't for the Lego movies and DC Animation, Warner Animation would just be local. It'll be a town industry joke. They'd be like, who do you think you are? Illumination? You ain't got no minions.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sony has the... Is that Illumination? Sony has Illumination, yeah. And I think so.
Oddly enough, without Warner Brothers, none of these other animated studios would even exist.
Isn't that crazy? And now they're so behind. Well, they're working on that Space Jam, too.
Still,
Let's be honest, though. Drew.
We are beyond Warner Brothers. It's fine.
We are beyond Warner Brothers.
It's fine.
Can we be honest, though, for a second here, Drew?
Huh.
Can we just all admit as adults that Space Jam is not a good movie?
Correct.
Why? I understand nostalgia and it's fun.
Uh-huh.
But why do we choose to hold that one up?
I mean, I don't know.
Why? Why is Ryan Coogler spending any time?
Michael Jordan.
On Space Jam. Bugs Bunny. Too? Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny, the two biggest icons of the day. Now it's LeBron James and Bugs Bunny. I guess. Yeah. There's been no replacement. Mm-hmm. Paw Patrol. It could be LeBron James and Paw Patrol.
Mm.
It could be LeBron James and see, I'm already thinking old. I'm thinking cartoons like last. Yeah. What's today? What's cartoons today?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
I don't know.
Because we don't have kids.
Nope.
So why are they spending any of this time? Why are we wasting time, I feel like?
Somebody thinks it's a good idea and they're going to put so many behind it.
A lot of people do because we're all pretending Space Jam's good.
Yeah. Well, we remember that Bugs Bunny was funny at one point in time.
I guess.
I mean, besides being overtly racist, it was LGBTQ friendly. I mean, Bugs Bunny was kissing on Elmer Fudd and dressing up as a lady for decades.
But then, was that some freak out Elmer Fudd? So that was just triggering his transphobia.
Mm-hmm.
Triggered. Hashtag triggered. Because Elmer Fudd was a real snowflake.
He was.
A real right-wing, gun-toting snowflake.
Gun-toting dummy.
The real snowflakes are on the right, Drew, is the lesson of the day.
Yes.
Yeah, there is definitely an ugly past there with all the Looney Tunes animation.
And the racism. Well, I mean...
That. So yeah, the racism. Speedy Gonzalez and Slowpoke Rodriguez. The trope of the lazy Mexican. Because it's... so hot in fucking Mexico that they take siestas in the middle of the day because it's too hot to do anything. They're like, oh, look at them. They're all lazy. They take siestas. It's like, hey, slowpoke, hey, speedy, where are you going? I'm so tired. It's like, oh, my God, racism. Yeah. But when I was a kid, I didn't understand that. I was just watching and enjoying. Pepe Le Pew, the rapey Frenchman.
The super rapey Frenchman.
Yep, so rapey. We had stuttering Elmer Fudd is making fun of people with speech impediments. We have... what else do we have going on over there? But then, yes.
I mean, Daffy Duck had anger issues.
Very much anger issues. That's fine. That's a comedy trope. But you're right. Bugs Bunny was very quick to dress up as Carmen Miranda and start dancing and put on some makeup and be totally cool.
Make out with Elmer Fudd real quick.
I was fine with that. I think now is a good time to point out that we don't have a guest on the show. ladies and gentlemen, there is no guest this week.
Chris, before we get to that, let's finish up the top five. Number one, Night School, $28 million, budget of $29. It's over.
Kevin Hart, that's in line. For his movies, when he's like top lining, is about $20-25 million. I think Tiffany Haddish, we don't really know what her top line is at this point. Maybe we will find out with this Tyler Perry movie. I would expect another $20-25 million for that Tyler Perry movie that she's the lead in. They were probably expecting a little more, but not this time of year, though. End of September, maybe October. They could have got another $5-10 million out of it, but October's a little packed with movies. Also, it would have helped if the movie was well-reviewed. It's terribly reviewed, even for what it is, which is a bummer. And I like Kevin Hart, but man, he cannot like pick a good movie for his life. Mm-mm. Like, I like him and stuff, but...
31%.
In movies where he's like the lead, it's always but when he pops up in support of other stuff,
he's really good.
Yeah, it's like and he's always the same.
yeah.
But when he's the lead in something, he's picking bad stuff. But when other people use him and stuff, it's like he was like one of the best parts in that. Robert De Niro, Sylvester Stallone, old men boxing movie.
He could be just a supporting actor, Chris. Some people are better at the supporting role than the lead.
Some people are better. Some people are great six men coming off the bench as opposed to being a star man. There's no problem with being a six man. No. That's why the NBA has the best six man award. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving out best six man of the year award to Steve Ecchi. Congratulations, Steve Ecchi. Sir, you are Cinema Press Medizo best six man. I would have called him over here to be our substitute guest. All right, back to talking about
in fact, we don't have guests.
Yeah, because, Night School, number one movie, poorly reviewed. We won't be talking about it much longer. I was going to call him over to see if he wanted to fill in. But he's having, he gets back issues every now and then. And he's been battling that this week, so I didn't want to ask him to trip all the way out here just for our BS.
Yeah.
So, we had a guest scheduled. Now, here's, I guess, the thing when you schedule guests, a month out, 2 months out.
Things happen.
I scheduled this person, to come on the show a month ago. They asked to reschedule. We came up with a date that was this weekend. Reached out this week via multiple channels to this person to book them, and no response. So
things happen.
I feel like you, Drew, should take that as a personal slap in the face. People didn't want to podcast with us.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with it?
Sometimes I don't want to podcast with us.
You know what? That's fair. That's very fair, actually. We just do it, though.
But you know what?
People demand it.
I mean, if I'm in town, I'm here.
If you're here, that's true.
If I'm here, I'm here.
That's true. That's yes. That's demonstrable. Mm-hmm. Now, for the dedication is on, has been recorded.
Yes, yes. The only reason why I'm not here is because I'm not here.
Because you're not here. Precisely. That's correct. So, yeah, I put this on Facebook. I think we talked about it on the show, and I've been thinking about it. So for the rest of this year, I'll continue to try booking guests who either haven't been on in a while or are first time guests. Like, we still have some for the next 3 weeks, I think, booked out, and I have some people who have email trying to get on the show, and other people we have verbal agreements to get scheduled. So I'm going to continue booking new people throughout the rest of this year, but I do think there is going to be a shift eventually, sooner rather than later, in which we will be booking less guests, more of this, just Drewster Cogburn and myself. Or if Drewster Cogburn is not here because he's out of town, me and another
co-host. Whatever.
I have a couple in the quiver. We got good old Steve Ecchi. We got Simon Time. We get great reactions from people when they sit in. Because Drew, it's like, I was talking to another podcaster about this. What do you think about this? I was talking about how when I started the show and he started the show, we were both talking about our respective shows. We both started. We both had the philosophy that having certain guests on was going to be a big...
A bump.
Yes. And that's how the show was going to grow. As guests come on, they share. Your scope widens as more people hear about you. We have both found with our shows that no matter who your guest is, first off, Drew, lucky if the guest even shares.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
Yeah.
And you hear me say to them all the time, hey, I'm going to tag you on stuff, do this, do that, and then what's their response? Yeah, almost sure.
Of course. Of course, Bob. No, they never do.
Come on. Got a little... Yeah, it's ridiculous, Drew, I'll tell you, it's sad. So, there are a handful of guests who have given us, like, a 10% bump, but that's not enough to justify, like... So that's not the reason to have guests on.
Yeah, no.
I thought that was the reason, but that's not the reason to have guests on. I have a feeling if we even got, like, Wesley Snipes in here, maybe one episode, we get, like, triple the downloads for that episode.
That's it.
And then that's it. And then we go back to normal, right? We gain one listener.
Maybe two.
Maybe two. We're still working on getting Wesley Snipes in here, though. So, I'm going to start focusing on, after getting some people in here, I do want to finish, part of the reason why I want to finish out getting new people in here for the rest of the year is because I want to continue getting this table all signed.
Yeah, yeah.
Let it flesh out. And then, I'm going to start having guests on that are just people I know who give us great tent. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know how much you love that tent slinging.
We have to sling, we're going to start slinging our best tent ever pretty soon here. There's plans, there's things that are happening, things are changing, and we're taking this shit to the next level. Just you wait and see. You won't even have to wait that long. But we're going to start bringing in guests who are just guests that... There are a handful of guests when we have them on the show, Drew. I get the responses. People are on... This one's really good. We really enjoyed this one. The most recent example would be Kyle Eagle.
Yeah.
People loved Kyle. They loved that episode that we did with him.
Well, there we go.
So he's going to be back for sure just to hang out with us and talk movies and Burt Reynolds. And he was feeding... You were on antibiotics.
He was feeding you alcohol the
whole
time. Yeah,
feeding me shots of... I was like, yeah, let's do a shot of whiskey or bourbon or whatever. Okay, I put the glass out and you just kept pouring out. I was like, this man might be an alcoholic.
Perhaps.
It's cool, though. PFT Media accepts all types. Listen to The Major Scale. Great show. Love it. New episodes every Wednesday. It's all about that jail.
Yay.
Bill Cosby got smacked in the face with a stale hot dog bun first night in prison, Drew.
Nice.
These are facts.
Fucking deserves a lot more than that.
Hey, that's the beginning.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of 3 years for him.
Yep.
So, just throwing that out there. Back.
Well, I mean, he's got his own cell.
Yeah.
But
he's not in solitary.
Well, no, exactly. So he still eats with everybody else.
He has 24 hour protection, but he is like sort of mixed in with General Pop. They're trying to integrate him into General Pop, but they can't because
he's Bill Cosby.
Who was it? Who said it? Someone came out. God damn it! Who was it? Some celeb who was in prison said it was wrong to be putting him in prison because of his age and his crime. He should be under house arrest because in prison they don't look kindly upon people jailed for sex crimes.
No, they do not. Not at all.
So despite being a celebrity, he may have problems. Like, OJ did okay.
Well, because yeah, he was a violent criminal.
He was in there for, like... Well, he was actually in there, yeah, for violence and for kidnapping and assault.
Yeah.
And then he has the whole, quote, murder thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Bill's in there for being a rapey pill dude.
Yeah, no, if you're in there for sexual-based offenses or anything against kids, even the murderers don't like rapists and pedophiles,
correct.
Chris.
Correct, that is correct. 100% correct. So Bill Cosby got smacked in the face with Stella Hot Dog in his first hand. So that's what we're going to be doing with guests in the future. So have fun with any new guests. If you have any ideas for new guests, you can email us cinemacrustbiso@gmail.com and we'll put them under consideration and see if maybe they want to be on. We have people... We get suggested guests quite often, actually. Just I gotta follow through on them, so maybe I will start doing that? ? Drew Sacogwin,
Chris Crespo.
New movies come out on DVD this week. The First Purge. Not well reviewed. Sicario, colon, Day of the Soldado.
Yeah, it's all right.
It was not good. Yeah. This documentary was well reviewed. I want to see it. Three Identical Strangers.
Yes.
That comes out this week. Cool. So check that one out. What's come out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters this week, we've got Venom.
Yes, Venom. Finally, Drew, we'll get a chance to see the train wreck for ourselves.
And shit all over it.
Shit all over it. I can't wait to do that spoiler-heavy episode on Venom. It's going to be a lot of fun. Drew...
But we have to watch it first.
But Drew, what if it's good?
What, and just all the trailers and all the marketing.
It's just being mismarketed to us.
And everything, and the look on Tom Hardy's face when he talks about it is all, what, wrong? Fake? Not the reals? Because, have you seen Tom Hardy talking about this movie? He does not want to talk about this movie.
He looks defeated.
He's like,
well, hey.
He's like, I had an idea, and we made a movie, and my movie got taken away from me. That's changed. The look that he has on his face.
Well, you know what? He chose that accent.
Yeah. Oh, God, the accent's so awful.
He's like, oh, will you? What's coming up?
A Star is Born.
Yes. Now the
directed by B. Coop.
His first movie as a director. His first... directing anything. He hasn't directed a commercial. He hasn't directed a short film. He went straight to $34 million big budget studio movie.
Lady Gaga, Sam Elliott. Fucking, I've seen
Dave Chappelle.
Seen the previews for
We've seen the trailers now for this a lot. A couple of different trailers now.
It looks good, Chris.
It looks
scary good.
For months now, I've been seeing Star Wars. I was like, I have no interest in this. It's going to be like music based. I'm not big on musical type movies. I don't care about the other two versions of A Star is Born, the Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand one being the most popular and the campiest.
Yeah.
And then they started rolling out that damn marketing.
Yeah. Like, oh, the marketing's good.
That's actually pretty good.
And it looks good. Yeah. It sounds good. Mm-hmm. And there's good talent involved.
And so I read a... I've been reading up on it. Because marketing is good, so I've been reading up on it. And apparently Bradley Cooper, this being his first thing he's ever directed. He's been wanting to make it for like 4 years now. And all the other people who worked on the movie with him have all used adjectives to describe his process. And all the words, and so many words they used. The only two words they didn't use to describe him was control freak. Like, okay. That's how exacting and meticulous and demanding he was of everything throughout this movie. Apparently, every aspect of this movie has been filtered through his brain.
Like, he knows what he wanted.
He knows exactly what he wanted, and he made damn sure, like,
he got it.
The 200, 300 people on that production knew what he wanted and that he was getting what he got. So, it explains, like, the rapturous reviews it's getting at some film festivals. But then film festival stuff is also, like, people get... blinded by the glamour of being at a film festival. It is the debut, the premiere, whatever. People do get blinded by that stuff. So you always have to take that with a grain of salt. That being said, it's coming next weekend. And I'm
excited.
I think I'm going to just have to open my heart and my mind to maybe actually liken this Bradley Cooper-directed Lady Gaga movie.
Yeah, no, exactly.
With a bunch of singing in it.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm not a musical guy, but... I've seen this trailer and it's like,
this is pretty good.
I want to see this movie.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott's awesome.
Oh, Sam.
And his brother. His older brother. So is Dave Chappelle. So
love Dave Chappelle. Yeah, another guy who's out talking like this. Both of them guys now all can't have a crap on divorce. Always like Jeff Bridges. Everyone going to Jeff Bridges School of Acting. I can't wait to open the Jeff Bridges School of Acting where I teach people to talk like an old man. You do all your acting and your throws where it is, just where it is now. Bradley Cooper apparently had to... He speaks with a voice that is an octave lower than his normal speaking voice.
Okay.
To try to speak more like Sam Elliott.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's talking...
Sam Elliott's awesome.
He's so. Like, oh, Lady Gaga, oh, you pretty. I want to slap your face with my penis.
Whoa.
Don't you remember that part in the trailer when he did it?
Whoa.
Did you see that trailer?
No.
It was a different trailer. So it was online.
What do you...
It was an online trailer. It was a pop-up ad.
What?
You didn't see that one? And the marketing has gotten, social media marketing has gotten to some interesting places, Drew. Do you have a prescription for us this week?
I mean, we'll see, won't we?
Doctor, doctor, give me... You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
All right, with your prescription for life as Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, watch out for serendipity sometimes. It can be... Craziest things can happen when you just go out for breakfast. You know? Cogburn out.
Cogburn out! That's right, that's a 4chan. That's what you got for that
4chan.
One.
Did you say 4chan?
Oh, no!
Wasn't that...
I've gone evil to the dark side, Drew!
Is that...
I am now a 4chan Redditor.
Is that still a thing?
I am now, I believe...
That was a thing. I know it was a thing at one point
in time. You can find me on 4chan under username... miscegenation is a thing.
Okay.
That's the practice of watering down the white race by intermingling species...
What? Excuse me?
You know how it is with them races. You know, like, hey, listen, you know, we can't have a white woman being invaded by the blacks and the browns, because then that leads to the white genocide.
Isn't that a good thing?
You know, well, not on 4chan. It's a bad thing on 4chan.
Are you sure about that?
4chans.
It
doesn't work the same way that way. No, it's the back-to-back type of thing. Pretty pathetic. This is what happens when we don't have a guest.
Yeah.
I have nowhere to direct my anger.
But I'm right here.
That's how I approach it. God, it's so boring. It's like throwing a... It's like handball by yourself. Just keeps calling back. It's not working. It's not absorbing any of it.
And you want more of this.
Yeah, for a price. Everything has a price, Drusa Cogburn. I don't want more of this. I'm just saying... It's not that I want more of this necessarily. It's just that, especially this year, because when we had Kermit Gonzalez in last week from the Obligatory podcast.
Yes.
You ended up with a record of 23-13 so far. So that's 36 guests so far for this year.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of damn people. That's a lot of coordinating and emails and conversating and book figuring out who to book for when and where and whether it's even worth it or not. Is it even worth it? I don't think. The conclusion is it ain't all that worth it.
Huh?
You know? We have Brett Rice in here. He acted alongside. He got punched in the face by Wesley Snipes in a scene and by accident.
Yeah, he did. That was cool.
That was great. We've had him.
We need more people like that.
We need more people like that, because if we're not even going to get a good bump from having people like that, might as well get the good stories and the good content. Yeah. But if we're going to have all these other people in that ain't going to share and ain't going to do shit, ain't going to give us a bump, then what are we doing? Now, there is an aspect where we do have a platform where we are giving people a chance to promote their stuff. So that's kind of a good Samaritan generosity thing that we've been doing for a while. Where it's like, come on and promote your shit to our... to our listeners, and maybe they'll listen to you. But then, is that working? Do our listeners... I have no idea.
Don't know.
Let us know. Twitter, Facebook, wherever. Start a thread in the Facebook group if you guys want. Guys and gals, gang, fellas, fellas. What's the lady version of fellas? Fellies? Fellas and fillies?
I'm not sure if fellas is gender specific.
Really? I always assumed fellas was dudes.
Interesting.
Bunch of fellers over there. The fellers and the fillies. I think it's fillies. When we have guests on from other podcasts, we have people... I mean, even just think this year, there's that Hard at Work. We've had two people from Hard at Work, Nick and Matt. We can look at the table right here.
1K away.
1K away. We had both of those guys on. People from our own podcast, our own network, Poking the Bear, Rest in Peace. You know, all that. Do you listen to that? The State of the Beer Union. Have you guys checked that out because they were on here? Or you checked out already? The Steezy, when we had Tatiana on, did that inspire you? Alex Moorhead, he's great. If you weren't listening to BYOC before, did you check it out after they came on? Any of these shows, have you checked them out? Or are they just like fodder for us? You listen to it, and when they go away, they're out of your mind.
And you don't even care.
Have any of you checked out the Second Round show? Because we've had them on a bunch of times for both bonus episodes and normal stuff.
Something about a black hole. there's a podcast.
Entering Black Hole. Yeah, that's on the podcast out there. We haven't had them on yet. But they did come out to our PFT Media meetup, which is pretty cool. So they pop up in that video there. Yeah, there's so many podcasts here. And we have some podcasters coming up in the next few weeks here. So, you know, we're giving them that. That's just Drew, though. I mean, I think the show, I've been saying this, I've been trying to do this since last year, since 2017, and I feel like I'm working harder and harder to do this, being honest about everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are being great people by offering this platform to others. I think it's huge what we're doing.
Suck your own dick much?
No. I don't have the flexibility nor length. To be perfectly honest, if I could, would I? You know, really?
I mean, it's just masturbation at that point in time.
Just a form of masturbation at that point in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, Drew, if you sucked your own dick,
dick sucker for life.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's your that's your mantra.
Mm-hmm.
So then, would you?
No,
you wouldn't because you don't want the tag
For life.
Wow, you're so anti the tag.
Mm.
But where would we be without the dick suckers? Then no one's dicks are getting sucked.
I mean, and that would be a shame.
It would be a shame.
I mean, over 50% of the world is technically a cocksucker.
Well,
about. Well, here's the thing, Chris.
Not every chick is gonna.
No, not every chick, but
not every dude is into. You know,
the majority of people on this planet are women.
Yeah, it's like 51%. Yeah, 52%.
So, the majority of those women are straight.
Okay, but it's still not 50%. Now we're cut down to such a small percentage.
Gay men as well. I mean, I would say that about 50% of the world sucks dick.
Okay, okay. So that's your ratio.
About, yeah.
That's your Fibonacci sequence of worldwide dick sucking.
Yes.
If we can map it over a Pangea-like map of all the continents, it would then make a golden spiral where you could see all the pockets of...
Yes, the golden spiral of cocksuckers.
The golden spiral of cocksuckers.
Uh-huh.
All right, there we go. We're learning a lot on this episode. We're doing pretty good, I think. Are you sure that wasn't your Dr. Drew's 2 cents there? That felt much more 2 cents-y than...
Whatever.
It did feel more 2 cents-y. Okay, you know what? This has been a long first half. Who says we need guests? We just need more... what's that? Skywalker? Skywalker and bubblegum?
Skywalker!
I mean, how do you... Yeah, they can hear that.
Audio podcast.
You people know what that is. You know what that is. Thanks, sure. Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break here, and then we will... We got some stuff. We got some emails. I sent you some emails.
Mm-hmm. I got some emails.
And I got some movie news. So we'll be back.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are changing.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Welcome to Fool Time, our new rebranded podcast where we break down episodes of Home Improvement, but from a misogynist point of view. We talk about
wasn't Home Improvement already from a misogynist point of view?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then a podcast, so we're gonna focus on that aspect of each episode and how he's a man monster at the beginning of each episode, but then through the help of his loving feminist wife, Jill, by the end of the episode, he's just slightly less of a monster.
Mm.
It's very incremental, his development. He goes from rawr, rawr, to rawr, rawr. So we'll start right now with episode one.
No, we're not.
Fools in the Fool Box is the name of the episode. What did you think of the original Tool Girl, Pamela Anderson?
I preferred the other one. Yeah.
Debbie Dunning?
Yeah.
Me too.
Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, Pam Anderson's Pam Anderson, sure, but mm-hmm. I always had a thing for Debbie Dunning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've always had a thing for brunettes, so.
There you go. You're a hair racist.
I am hair racist.
That's fine. We're still years away from hair people, hair color people, like fighting for their individual hair representation rights. You know, the
blue hairs and purple hairs and pink hairs.
See, then you're going to have to get into the arguments of, well, then what? So you're trans hair, you're born a brunette, but you're going to dye your hair blonde, and now you have to expect all the rights and benefits of being a blonde.
People do that all the time.
You know, Chris. Just because they think blondes have more fun.
They do.
I know, right?
Apparently.
So that's what I'm saying. So when you dye your hair blue, now you're saying the blue hairs get their own rights? There are no blue hairs. That's not a natural thing. Show me a porcelain. Show me a porcelain born with blue hair. This is my new child character.
That is, unless we're in the future. I'm in like, which case.
My beard hurts.
Or in space. Space people have blue hair.
Now we're talking about rights issues in the year 2500. That's two. Please don't do four, because I can't drink a whole can of sparkling water right now.
I'm good.
I'll burp the rest of the episode.
I'm good. Thank God.
Oh, man, that'd be bad. The blue hairs. What are we going to do with the blue hairs? We're going to have to run them up on an island.
I'm not talking about the old people.
No, not the old people, no. Because really, those are... See, that's the end. So when we all get to the end... And then we're all just a bunch of gray hairs.
Or white hairs.
And white hairs. Then we're all just fighting for our own gray-white hair rights. You know? Because it's the youngsters that are trying to take that shit away for themselves.
Yeah.
These so-called blue hairs. That's what it is. It's the youth.
So that's Talking Hair with Chris and Drew.
Talking Hair? Oh,
Talking Hair.
I guess that's what that was.
That's what it morphed into.
Yeah. I thought we were doing full time.
No. We went into hair racism.
It went into hair racism. Yeah, that's true. Talking Hair. That was the show within a show.
Yeah.
The Talking Hair segment was, that's a segment on full time.
Oh.
So every week we'll talk hair on full time. So episode two, expect more hair talk. Episode two of full time. I'm saying, expect a lot of changes.
Lots of changes.
Lots of changes.
Weird things going on.
Weird, it's crazy. Crazy wild stuff. As Ed Sullivan would say, another whiskey, please. He was an alcoholic, I believe. Many of them were back in the day. Allegedly. I don't know. I'm not trying to get sued by Ed Sullivan Estate. That's not good enough for news. Speaking of news, let's do plugs. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419, two places on the internet.
Which are the same place. Essentially, it's Facebook.
The Facebook gram.
Find them on the Facebook gram. You know all the Cinema Crespedito stuff, people. Just follow it, read it, share it, do it. Be cool, bro. It's a total be cool, bro situation. With the liking of the show and sharing with people. And, you know, don't be selfish. Share it. Help us grow.
Help what?
We need it.
How?
We need, it's like show Viagra.
Okay.
When you share the podcast with others, it's like you're giving the show Viagra, because you're giving it a chance to truly grow.
Okay.
You get it? You see where I'm going with that?
I see what's going on.
Okay. Yep. All right, there we go. Glad we're on the same page.
Yep.
So those are the plugs, pretty much. Did I? Yeah. I didn't write anything down for a plug.
Nope.
So that's that.
We got another plug!
So let's, we do have a new segment, though. It's the, Reverse Racism segment of the week.
Give me another whiskey.
Let's see who the prize is. The prize winner of this week's Reverse Racism claim. We have a white social studies teacher who claims reverse racism. A white Bronx social studies teacher facing termination for a controversial lesson on slavery says she is the victim of reverse racism and has filed a lawsuit, which her lawyer says could be worth $1 billion.
How so?
Notorious teacher's attorney even says white teachers who work in the Bronx deserve combat pay. The Daily News exclusively reported in February, middle school, one 18 teacher, Patricia Cummings, singled out black students and told them to lie on the floor for a lesson on U.S. slavery and stepped on their backs to show them what it felt like, according to several students and one staffer. So the lawsuit is against the city, parents, students, and the media that the account was all wrong. She says she is the victim of reverse discrimination, defamation, negligence, and other claims worth the eye-popping sum. She says she's worth $120 million in damages, owed $120 million in damages. Her lawyer says it's a scandal. There is blatant racism and reverse discrimination in the public schools in New York City. This is why white parents do not want to send their children there. It's no longer the blacks and minorities who are being discriminated against, he said. It is discrimination against white teachers who are making great sacrifices to be there.
Great.
Reverse racism, Drew. First off, the term reverse racism
doesn't exist.
It's like it's stupid. It's like it's like saying the it's the redundant department of redundancy.
Yes.
Yeah, racism is racism.
It's racism. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
On top of that, that being said, racism against whites in America doesn't exist. It's impossible to discriminate. And they are claiming discrimination. They are claiming the true racism and that they're saying she was discriminated against for being white, whereas other people are saying, no, you're being fired for stepping on children.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah, if that's what happened, yeah, she, yeah.
Any sort of weird role play of slavery type. Like, why?
I mean, if you were even going to go that far, you better have some white kids on the floor, too, getting their asses stepped on.
No, why? There's no white slaves.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
She was just trying to show what it was like to be on a boat, on a ship, being shipped across the waters to America.
That's fine. You should have everybody experience that, not just the little black children.
They could just she could have just shown them Amistad.
I mean, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sure.
Instead of getting any kids getting out of any seats to do anything.
They could have just been bored to death by 2 hours of Amistad.
Just watch Amistad while I sit here and play Candy Crush on my desk because I'm a barely involved teacher.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing about having the white teachers to get combat pay is gross. That's the racism. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy how this lawyer is like super racist with all his claims,
mm-hmm.
and then claims, but it's racism against my white client.
If that's the case, then black teachers should get combat pay.
Why don't teaching
all the WASPs in those fucking private schools?
Yeah, or why don't all teachers get combat pay? Because what schools are getting shut up? You mm-hmm. know, whenever you see these the school shootings too, it's never in an inner city school.
Hell no.
No.
Hell no.
It's always in these little suburbs that you've never heard of.
Yeah. Where all the very well white people are there and they have no security and they fucking tote their guns and say how much they love their liberties.
That's why they're so shocked when it happens. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't fit the narrative of, well, all the violent schools are in the inner cities. You know, they're being principled by Morgan Freeman carrying a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Why is it? Why is it the other way? So, reverse racism is a dumb phrase, doesn't exist. It's like saying general consensus. You know,
yeah.
The consensus is general.
Yes.
The
consensus.
There's no specific
it's a general
consensus.
General.
Yeah. Yes. So stupid. Don't say that, people. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. And don't say reverse racism. And also don't think that, you know, if you think in any instance that a white person can be discriminated against in this country, just ask yourself if you also think you need a white entertainment television network.
Ha!
Or an all-white historical all-white college.
Isn't that everything? It's like,
I've seen it online. I've seen people argue with SBK about, isn't it racist to have an all-black college? And it's like, you don't understand why there's an all-black college to begin with, you white privileged idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's an all-black college because at one point in time, they couldn't get
into any of the colleges.
So they had to make an all-black college so they could get a fucking education. It's really fucked up.
And also, those schools have, like, the average student body, I think, I don't know, maybe just pulling this out of thin air, but it's like 80 to 20 in terms of like black students to non-black, meaning white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. Because it's a historically all-black school, doesn't mean it's only black.
Yeah.
And some people want to be like, but they have like the best program, they have the best this, best that, and that's where I want to study. I want to study under this.
I want to do this there.
This is the school. Yeah. FAMU is the best school for this, so exactly. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go be a rattler. So, hey. New segment called, you know, just sort of, I guess it's morphing because the whole Me Too fervor has kind of, it's still going, that's still going down, but it's sort of died down a little bit, so we're not going to necessarily have to do this week in rape culture, but we will do this week in sexism. Right, that's all you get for that one, because it's not Me Too necessarily, but it is pretty crazy.
Close enough.
So this lady went to a Dodgers game wearing this shirt that said No Country for Old Men, and it's an outline drawn of a uterus.
Ha. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Uterus and a vagina and the whole female reproductive system.
Right. So then she says she was stopped by stadium employees and security and told that the shirt was offensive and she couldn't walk around with it. What's so offensive about just an outline drawn of a piece of anatomy, Drew?
It's offensive.
What is it offensive? It was like an outline of like some testes. What
a giant penis.
Yeah,
probably.
But it's not like
I would hope so.
But would the actually? You know, it would really just be the testes and then like the urethra. Mm. Would you have to necessarily draw the outline of the dick if you're just doing the insides?
I don't know.
She was asked to leave because she has a uterus on her shirt. I don't know. Oh, then you know it's really okay. So here's the juxtaposition that makes it all so wonderful. While she's standing there with that shirt, where they're like, this is offensive, you can't wear this. She's looking at other people who are walking around with licensed LA Dodgers gear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shirt that says, she wants the D with a capital D, and it features the Dodgers logo. But she wants the D, our shirts at the Dodgers sell. Wow. So you're allowed to walk around with a shirt as a woman that says, she wants the D.
She wants the D!
But he can't walk around with a shirt with a uterus on his...
Nope.
That's a
no
uterus,
country for old no men. Country for old men.
So that's your This Week in Sexism.
Mm-hmm.
Sexism, sexism, sexism. All right, not for real, though, Drew. This is what the people come for.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
We said before, we'll say it again, the most important segment in all podcasting this Cinema Crispy. So movie news. Man, Kermit last week was shocked when I was breaking down Pratt Schwarzenegger and Affleck Sexton Garner.
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, actually, yes, we care about this. This is what the people care about, Drew. Don't you watch reality TV? Of course we don't.
No.
We're just trying to get in on that juicy, juicy action. Drew, what's up with the Biebs?
He's dead. This morning, he died of a heroin overdose.
Oh.
He was shooting it straight into his penis.
Oh. Already leaving Haley Baldwin, a very young widow.
Yeah.
Sad. Mm-hmm. Well, he's in Jesus' arms now.
He is.
And
right before then, Jesus was in his arms. Well, actually his penis.
Well, yes, exactly. So we'll use this time to remind people that...
don't shoot heroin into your dick.
Don't shoot heroin into your dick. And also remember that Jesus was killed because he threw the money lenders out of the temples and he fought against the power structure.
The patriarchy.
That's it's the read between the lines version of the gospel.
Of the Bible.
Yeah. You can get rid of all that son of man stuff and just look at the, he was all like, you guys making money off this? And they're like, shh.
Like, this is some bullshit.
This is bullshit. Don't be giving them your money. They're like, we gotta do something about this.
We need to keep our money, guys. Yeah. How, what do we do? I bet you if we make up some bullshit and tell the Romans about him, they'll fucking throw him on a cross.
Like, this guy's trying to start some sort of Jewish insurrection, man. We want to be cool, bro. Help us out. I'm like, all right, well, we can't be having this.
Throw him on a cross.
Turns a bit of a wrong way. We can't have
that. I would assume that an old Roman would sound a lot like Ronald Reagan.
Be a Reaganist?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A Reagan type?
Yep.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Justin Bieber. Looking forward to next week's update on him.
Yep.
Here we go. Most important story. This is wild. Drew.
Chris.
Kourtney Kardashian.
Don't care.
She breaks up with her boyfriend, younger guy. She's dating dudes like 15 years younger than her. Breaks up, and they're all like basketball player types. They're like 10 feet tall.
Of course.
And also she's like 2 feet tall, so it's a really funny dichotomy.
She likes the D.
She breaks up with, she wants a D, Dodger style. She breaks up with this one guy, and then like 2 weeks later, seen with a dude that's like his clone, exact same person.
Okay.
But then the very next day, she's hanging out with, who's she hanging out with? She's hanging out with another dude who they insisted they're just friends, but they've been hanging out a lot. He's on like some TV show or something. So Kourtney Kardashian, I'm just thinking, you know, poor Kourtney, she doesn't get enough play out there. Everyone's always talking about Kim Kardashian West, her three kids, and her crazy as fuck husband. You hear about SNL last night?
Did.
Yep. He ranted and raved. He did a pro-Trump rant that was not aired. It was yep. it happened
afterwards.
Afterwards,
yeah.
But Chris Rock was in the crowd that night, and he shot some of it on his phone and put it up on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can hear him in the background laughing and going, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
And then people in the crowd booing as Kanye West made a weird rambling
Dude,
argument.
Kanye West has lost his fucking mind.
He's bipolar, obviously, for sure. He's definitely got mental things going on. He's probably off of medication that he should be on. And apparently this does stress out Kim Kardashian West quite a bit, because she wants to be there for her man at all times and back him up, and publicly she does, but behind the scenes, according to sources, she gets mad.
Well,
she's like, "What are you doing? Why are you being so crazy? Yeah. Stop being crazy."
Yeah.
He doesn't sleep much, maybe 3 hours a night. He's not listening to people around him anymore. No. He wants to move back to Chicago permanently. And they've done things where he's gone. His last album, I think he was in like the Southeast somewhere, Louisiana maybe. He posted up somewhere to do his last album. And so they made it just work long distance. And Kim, she travels all the time. They're mega stars. They travel all the time. They have the money to be able to afford to handle all that shit, right? But he wants to move back to Chicago. She doesn't want to move to Chicago.
Of course not.
So she'll be, again, just visiting him all the time.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, is that a way to have a marriage?
No.
But it's a megastar marriage, though. It's not like a normal marriage. This isn't Jill and Peter up the block, you know, in their shitty 2-1 that they're renting that they can barely afford because rental prices here are out of control.
Mm.
We're talking about these people.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're gonna do. These poor Kardashians.
It's
so
sad.
Also, Drewster, Courtney, she's still getting over that whole Tristan Thompson cheating thing. Moved to Cleveland. Talking about.
Don't care.
She moved to Cleveland of all places, the land. Oof, from L.A.
Living in sin with a safety pin.
But that's where he works.
Cleveland rocks, bro.
Cleveland does rock, according to Drew Carey. And
it's a great show.
And I'm just saying, you know, for being OJ's daughter, she did pretty well for herself.
Not bad.
That's your Kardashian. Most important segment. Most important thing we could have done. We should have started the show with this, really. Sorry to have buried us so deep in the show, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's what you're really waiting for.
And back to Keeping Up with the Kardashians with Chris Crespo.
No. That's
That's what we just did.
That's copywritten. No, I did a wrap-up. Wrapping up with the Kardashians, which they should do more of, because they're squirting out too many monsters of the future. Future monsters.
Oh, they were past monsters, too.
So AMC Subs A-List is doing great. MoviePass forced their hand to like up their game to come up with their subscription service. They put out numbers recently about how many subscribers they've got, and they're just going up. They're in like 300,000, 400,000. They're doing great.
It means
people are loving their service.
It means people are interested in the idea if done right.
They charge more money, but they give you 3 movies a week, and it's whatever format you want. And people are digging it.
Yeah.
When I see online people complaining about MoviePass, other people respond, get on that A-list, get on the Stubs. Mm-hmm. Only reason I don't do that...
because we got lots of Regals around
here. We got the Regal, man. AMC, there's an AMC over there, but it's also a shitty old theater. Like, upgrade that shit. Regal here is great. Regal internationally has a club program, so it's only a matter of time before they roll that out here. And once they do, I'm jumping on it. I'm willing to pay for the Regal... I would pay up to $19.99 a month for a Regal Pass.
Because I'm going to see at least 4 movies a week month.
That's $5 a movie. Yeah. And especially if you do it AMC style, where it includes your 3Ds, whatever, which we never even take advantage of anyway. But if it's already included in that price,
might as well.
Man, I would jump right on it.
Yeah.
So get on it, Regal. Birds of Prey, that's the Huntress Black Canary movie, along with Harley Quinn, Gotham film. Gotham City film.
Because why not? Margot Robbie was the most, probably the best part of the whole movie.
Ended up being the most popular part too. Her and Will Smith's Deadshot. So, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She's fantastic. I love her. Death Proof. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Etc. Etc. St. Cloverfield Lane. She is going to be Huntress. And a actress who's done a lot of TV stuff. Journey Smollett Bell will be Black Canary. So they have their... they have their cast. They have their 3 main castmates for Birds of Prey. That one's moving forward. Meanwhile, the other one, Black Cat and Silver Sable, that one got pushed back. So.
Yeah, well, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. John Cho. I think I mentioned this, actually. Just John Cho doesn't like being the first Asian-American to headline a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Someone brought that up to him. And his response was, "Listen, I'm just looking forward to the day when none of this is news. That's my take on it. It's exciting to be the first, but it's a little sobering to learn that too. I guess I no longer want to be the first Asian anything because it means we haven't done it yet."
Well, I mean, the first Asian thriller in America. I mean, how many Asian thrillers are made in Asia?
No, it's not. But it's not an Asian thriller, though. It's an American thriller with an Asian American lead.
Okay.
You know, yeah. The closest thing we had to that was Bruce Lee making Enter the Dragon. That's a Hollywood production, but it's not a thriller. It's a martial arts film.
Yeah.
It's like, what if the game was starring? I can't even think of an Asian star of the late '90s, right? Because that's how representation matters. Mm-hmm. Macaulay Culkin got on Twitter to petition J.K. Rowling to write him a role for the next Fantastic Beasts movie.
Whatever.
He wants to be... How old do you think Macaulay Culkin is?
Yeah, he's probably our age. So I'm going to go with like 36.
38.
Yeah.
38 years old. He tweets, "Hey, at J.K. Rowling, I'm with you." Oh, go. First we got to talk about this. You know, a little bit of a... racism type stuff where try to wrap this up. I'll try to do this really quick. There's a character that started as an object but has like a backstory in the Harry Potter movies, and it has a backstory, and the character is called Nagini, N-A-G-I-N-I. And what happened was they cast this character. It's a Korean actress, and people are like, "What? It's forced representation. There's no like racial stereotyping of this character in the book. Why are we?" It feels like people are like, "It's forced." Someone even tweeted right at J.K. Rowling, "This feels forced. Why are you doing this bullshit?" Of course, as a white woman, white feminism's the worst. J.K. Rowling responds just very matter-of-factly, "The origins of Nagini and how it's a Asian Indian origin," and she's like, "This is why I chose this word. This is why this. It has this etymology, and it's actually of all Asian backstory. So I have an Asian character play this Asian thing." Makes sense, thank you very much. Like, no,
yeah.
She just handled that troll very easily. Okay, so then Macaulay Culkin responds, "Hey, I'm with you. Nagini can be whatever she wants to be. She's a strong woman / snake." I guess Harry Potter stuff. Yeah. "Also, can you write me into the next movie? I'm Macaulay Culkin, parentheses from Home Alone, : the movie, close parentheses, and I was also a page master, parentheses, experience with magic, close parentheses." He then writes Dan Fogler, I guess he's a co-writer. "At Mr. Dan Fogler, maybe producer, put in a good word for me. There's a back rub in it for you. By the way, it's me, Macaulay Culkin, parentheses from Home Alone 2 / We're Friends in Real Life, close parentheses." So Macaulay Culkin trying hard.
Getting that Fantastic Beast.
Trying to be a wizard. I respect the open hustle from the Mac.
Yeah, sure, why not?
It's not like he's gone this long without working. He doesn't, whatever he's done, he's been set up now. Maybe his parents were just smart with the money. One of the rare instances of making it out of childhood acting gig,
because I mean,
intact and with
he
money.
He must have made so much money.
Home Alone's My Girl, good son. What else did he do? He was like in 5 or 6 movies. Yeah. He had a tight little run. Richie Rich,
yeah,
that was a big budget one.
Yep,
all that money was
paid. Somehow.
He got paid. His parents hopefully put it away, and then he didn't squander it in his 20s. And now he's almost 40, and he's just like, I want to be a wizard.
Come on, I can act.
I have a rock band. Every song is about pizza, and I want to be a wizard. Good for him. Jamie Lee Curtis cried throughout filming of the new Halloween movie, Drew.
Cool.
Hopefully it wasn't for the same reason Tom Hardy was crying throughout the film.
I know, right? What are you doing? Why?
She said when she got the screenplay, and she read it, I'll just read her the quote. "I really focused on the characters played by Andy and Judy," meaning Andy Matichek, the kid, and Judy Greer, who plays her daughter. "I really focused on their characters. When I first got sent the script, I literally said, 'Look, you guys, I'm in it so little. You can shoot me out in like 5 days.'" She realized her error when she landed in Charleston, South Carolina, where the film was shot, began to rehearse, unpacking the psychic damage the masked killer had inflicted on her character 40 years prior. Quote, "I started crying the day I arrived. I didn't stop crying until the day I left. I didn't expect it. I knew Laurie would be fierce. I knew she'd be galvanized. I knew I'd be tired. I knew I would work hard. I did not know that would move me so deeply. The whole experience of the movie, it took me a good month to recover."
Yeah.
Also, she hurt herself.
Hmm. She's an old lady.
Yeah, but she's an old lady doing her own stunts at times.
She's got weak bones.
Yes, precisely. "I cracked my rib shooting those last sequences, says Curtis. By the end of that sequence, not just the stuntman was taking Advil, we were all taking lots of Advil. I mean, obviously, there were stunt people involved, but all of the fighting is all me, or a great, great majority of it is.
You get old, you get big bones.
I hope it's good. I want to be good.
Me too.
Gambit.
I mean, there's I saw a thing on the internet saying how, you know, Jordan Peele does Get Out, Danny McBride does Halloween. Mm-hmm. Let's all thank God the Monty Python guys never make a horror movie, because we'll all be damaged for life.
Yeah.
It seems like the funnier that you are, the darker
you can get.
Yeah, the scarier your movies can be.
Wow, look at Robin Williams when he plays bad guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, I got it.
So imagine those Monty Python guys. Imagine if they made a horror movie.
It would be... I still think it would just be silly. It would still just be so silly. Gambit. They want to make it, Drew.
They really need to just give it up.
They want to make it. Channing Tatum wants to be a Remy LeBeur.
He needs to give it up.
He wants to be all Sean.
He cannot do accent work.
That's what the last few years, that's all he's been working on, just the accent. Simon Kinberg, the guy who produces all these X-Men movies, here's his quote. When you look at Gambit, he's a hustler and a womanizer, and we just felt like there was an attitude, a swagger to him that lent itself to romantic comedy. So think a romantic comedy tinged version of an X-Men movie starring Channing Tatum as a Cajun.
Just when you think it can't get any worse, the idea gets worse.
It got worse somehow. You want to make it a romantic comedy.
It's like all these ideas. It's like nothing about this movie was good to begin with, and they made it worse.
And then this quote's slightly confusing at the end, but he expounds, you know, when I say a romantic comedy, I use that term loosely, in the same term that I use the term Western. This is a very weirdly, poorly written sentence. The same way I use the term Western for Logan loosely. It's not like they're gunslingers at high noon. It's just a vibe. And I would say the vibe of Gambit has a romantic or sex comedy vibe to it. But it's also still very much a superhero movie with villains and heroes, as all these movies are. I argue that romantic comedies and sex comedies are two very different things.
Yes.
You know, like one is The Notebook, not even Notebook, that's just Nicholas Sparks. One is like a Katherine Heigl, Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher type movie. And then sex comedy is like it's a bunch of no-name college kids trying to get laid. Like that sex drive movie. Euro Trip. Yes, exactly. Going all the way back to Porky's.
Yeah.
Totally different vibes.
Yeah.
If you told me Gambit romantic comedy, I'm like, I don't think so. If you told me Gambit's sex comedy starring Channing Tatum,
maybe.
I'm like, you actually might have my interest. That is just bizarre enough.
That might be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, right. More fun than romantic comedy. So what are you doing here? Kingsman 3 was announced. Well, actually, a Kingsman movie was announced. It wasn't specified that it was 3. Now it's being clarified. Drew, it's a Kingsman prequel. We're getting starring Ralph Fiennes, or featuring Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, man.
And not only are we getting a Kingsman prequel with Ralph Fiennes, written and directed by Matthew Vaughn, but he's going to shoot that back-to-back with his Kingsman 3 sequel. So he's making two movies, one's a prequel, one's a sequel, back-to-back. Pow!
I want to see the prequel only because of Fiennes. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the sequel.
There you go. And that's Dr. Drew's 3 cents.
There we go.
That's a third cent.
You got an extra penny.
Do with it what you will. It's up to you. Find a train track somewhere and then lay down and kill yourself.
That sounds about right.
Alright, here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Drew Sky, we're gonna take it away.
We got email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got Assassination Nation and Night School Review.
All right. Doing, you know what? Sometimes, Drew, I'll be honest. Again, honesty is the theme, right?
Yeah.
The key to what's going to help us do our thing. Yeah. Sometimes.
I don't want to watch this garbage.
Oh, no. That's for sure. No, that's 100% for sure. Yeah. Yes. No, yeah. No, I'll be getting to that.
Thank you, Scott.
Part of what I'm saying. But sometimes I shit on podcast. Well, I always shit on podcast listeners in general. Podcast listeners are the worst. They're just like the new age version of talk radio listeners who are bad people. And then, you know, I give our show listeners some guff because, you know, a lot of podcasters go out there and be like, oh, our show listeners are the best. Mm. We have the best listeners. Listen, y'all can't have the best listeners. And I don't think our listeners are the best listeners. They're cool. I like them. And sometimes they really come through in the clutch, just like Scott is right now. Scott, we love you for coming through in the clutch. But all of our listeners in total, are they the best? I don't know.
Probably not.
Well, maybe we'll find out more in a few weeks here.
Assassination Nation,
Chris. We'll find out how much you guys really love us soon.
After watching this gross week in our American history, hashtag this week in rape culture.
What? This week in rape culture. Hey, you try to grab my pussy, got this pussy grab you.
Hey, you try to grab my pussy, got this pussy grab you. I was hoping to like this movie a lot more than I did. I get that it's a satirical rebuke of misogyny and toxic masculinity, and though its name Salem was kind of on the nose, but something about this movie still never quite struck the chord that I hoped it would, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But hey, that final act where everything gets hella violent and the women fight back, I loved all of that. It's like the first two-thirds is a teen drama you'd expect to find on the CW, and the final third is the motherfucking Purge. Huh. 2.5 stars.
I did hear that the third act of this movie is quite splattery violent.
Cool.
So
I like splatter violence.
Whenever it comes out on some sort of streaming service, I'm going to skip to the end, because that's what I did for Twilight, the series. Oh. I literally skipped to the end. I didn't watch any of the movies. And then I just watched like the final battle scene of the last movie when it was on FX. I was
it's great.
They're ripping the heads off each other and they're setting each other on fire.
But at the end, it never happened.
Yeah, and then at the end, that's why I'm glad I didn't watch all the other stuff, because then I would have like, put time into it. But since I didn't put any time into it, yeah, I can just watch the scene as it is.
Night School.
Thank you.
I could have snuck into Crazy Rich Asians. I should have snuck into Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
I just don't like Kevin Hart. His movies aren't for me.
Right.
I like some of his stand-up, but mostly it's also not for me. I certainly don't hate him, and I respect the fuck out of his hustle for getting where he is.
Yeah, sure.
But I just don't know. He's not for me.
All right.
It was the supporting cast that made me watch this. I'm buying stock in everything Tiffany Haddish nowadays.
Yeah.
And people like Al Madrigal, Romany Malco, Mary Lynn Raskup.
Mary Lynn Ricecup.
Raskup.
Ricecup. Like Rice Cup.
Okay, Rice Cup. Yeah. Rob Riggle, Taron Killam, and I don't even know if... I didn't even know it until she showed up early on, but Yvonne Orgy from HBO's Insecure is also in this, another stock I'm buying. Hmm. This is a strong cast. I just wish they weren't in this formulaic Kevin Hart movie.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, they all had a few comedic moments to shine, but a lot of bits go on for about 30 seconds, too long, until they stop being funny. Mm. And this goes especially for Hart. He runs funny bits into the ground until they're dead and rotten.
No.
But everyone else in my quarter full theater seemed to love it. Kevin Hart has his audience, and he knows what his audience wants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not his audience.
True.
1 star. Take care, guys. Scott.
Yeah, I agree on that all-in on Tiffany Haddish thing. She's going through like a... I'm equating the movie run that she's doing right now to sort of like a Jim Carrey 90s sort of thing, where it's like she's a hot flavor.
She's the hot shit.
She's the hot shit. They're throwing her out there, and she's like doing a lot of the physical comedy really well. But I liked how this trailer, at least in the trailer, made it look like she was doing something that was less physical, more of a... she's a tough teacher, except for, you know, bits here and there, obviously.
Except for the scene where she's in a steel cage whooping his ass.
Yeah, exactly. That's where they get to get more of the physical Tiffany Haddish that is featured in a bunch of the movies. I'm telling you, that Tyler Perry, Nobody's Fool, might not be... If it has a average rating on Rotten Tomato over 6... I'm definitely going to see it.
All
for
right.
sure. Over,
all right.
Over 6, I'm definitely going. Because that means it's going to be good. Tyler Perry. Scott, thank you so much, buddy.
We got an email from Gabe.
All right, Gabe is another one of our, like, for sure dope listeners. He sent us games and stuff. We love your games. Thanks.
He's got a Mary and the Witch's Flower review.
Mary and the Witch's Flower.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's, like, family anime. I'm pretty sure it's, yeah, Studio Ghibli.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay, awesome.
You gotta appreciate hand-drawn shit when you see it.
Mm-hmm,
yes. Mixed 3D, but it's just gorgeous on multiple levels. Story is okay. Visual candy. Watch anything Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I think today, like at noon, they were showing for Ghibli Fest? I don't know, it's Chinese. Mm-hmm. They're showing My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you can see that kind of stuff.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Loved Howl's Moving Castle. Saw that one in theaters. Yeah, man, that's good stuff.
They do good work.
That's cool. Yeah, and he's right, too, about, like, hand-drawn animation, that 2D old school stuff. They never do that anymore.
No, they don't, and Studio Ghibli probably does it best. They really do.
Yeah, they really, it's gorgeous. It really is gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely.
And The Informant review.
The Informant? Exclamation point.
A Matt Damon comedy that just falls flat.
Yeah.
Somewhat humorous, but otherwise didn't need to be made.
A bummer. Steven Soderbergh makes a lot of movies. His comedies are few and far in between, and there's a reason why.
Yeah, they don't always work.
He can put comedy in his movies. The Ocean's movies are fun and have comedic moments.
Yes.
But he doesn't make comedies.
No.
This one was unfortunate. I had a great cast, too. Great comedic cast.
Joe Bang!
Joe Bang's a great character. And Daniel Craig's fantastic. He unleashed Daniel Craig in a movie.
Yeah.
In a way that no one else has, which was great.
Yeah, Daniel Craig was funny.
Yeah, he was. He was genuinely funny and fantastic. He really, really was. But yeah, for some reason, The Informant didn't really work. Old Matt Damon put on like 40, 50 pounds for that movie.
Fat Damon.
Wasn't worth it in the end. Poor guy. Had to lose all that weight.
Oh, well.
Someone has a story about how... there was a stand-up routine, I think. About how they were working on the... Oh, it's Paul F. Tompkins. Because he's on that movie. And he has a routine about... he has a whole special that's about jobs. All the jobs he's had. It's called Laboring Under Delusions. And since he's been done some acting, he has some acting stories about like working with... alongside Daniel Day-Lewis on There Will Be Blood and stuff like that. And meeting Tom Cruise at the table read for Magnolia. And Tom Cruise sits down next to him at the table read because he's the last one to show up and see the only seat that's left open. And he leans over to him. He reaches out. He goes, "Hi, I'm Tom Cruise." And Paul Thomas is like, "Yeah, most famous person in the world. I know who you are. Nice to meet you." And so he has a bit about working on.
"Hi, I'm Tom Cruise." Really?
Yeah.
No.
it's unbelievable. And so he's working on The Informant. Matt Damon's fat, and someone puts down. Like, they're eating food, and Matt Damon doesn't have his food yet, and he's, like, talking to him, and everyone's very pleasant, they're having a good time. And someone puts down, like, a bowl with some water in it, and, like, some cubes, some blue, like, cubes, and he just starts eating these cubes. And no one's saying anything. And Paul Thomas is like, what's going on? What is this? He's this whole bit, but what is this? And then he says he's telling this story on the road, and he's somewhere, he's telling this story about the cubes, and he has this bit... And then from the back of the room, someone says, "I know what those cubes are." And he goes, "Who is that?" And the person yells, "It's me, Tom Arnold." He's like, "What the hell?" Tom Arnold's in the crowd. And he explains to him that the cubes are some sort of detox thing. He said was it at the end of shooting? He says, "Yes, I remember. It was like the last week of shooting." He said that was part of his detox cleanse to start losing the weight and getting back into proper shape. So they have some sort of blue cube thing that they have there. They're doing out there in Hollywood. The fancy schmancy hoi polloi. Yes, the 1%. They get the blue cubes when they need to lose weight. What do we got to do? We got to go running and stuff.
You have to burn more calories than you take in.
It's hard to do, Drew. Just give me cubes. Give me the blue cubes, and then I'll lose the weight that way.
I don't think they work the way you think they do.
Do people not know you're supposed to water down Gatorade? They just drink it out of the bottle like it's like concentrate, right? Like, no, I'll just take 100% of my sodium for today.
Right now!
Without actually doing anything physical?
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. See, Gatorade's meant for...
athleticism.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. If you drink a bunch of Gatorade and you haven't sweat that day, you're why are you drinking salt water?
Because I need to swell. Because I'm gonna get that's how you get swole, right?
Sure.
Our new podcast is gonna be called Swole Boys, and it's gonna be how every episode will be a different way how you can get more sodium into your diet so you can swell up more.
I mean, you can just start funneling Morton salt.
Well, like butt funnel?
Like buy a funnel, open your mouth,
mm-hmm.
pour salt down it.
Like just straight salt. I feel like that would do something bad to you somehow.
Correct.
But not it wouldn't give us the swelling that we're looking for. It would just like
destroy your stomach. You'll get some swelling. You'll get some swelling.
I don't know.
I don't think it's the swelling you want.
You know, for a show that's designed to give out bad advice. I think that's the worst advice possible to give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Even worse than the butt funneling.
Yes.
Yeah. Just straight down the gullet.
Yeah. Although, I'm sure if you butt funneling, it's probably worse.
I don't know. Stomach lining. Can it take that?
Do you think your intestinal lining can take all that salt?
I mean, how far down are we getting the funnel in? If we get the funnel far enough, if we get the funnel far enough in either direction, they're both gonna end up in the same spot.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
It's gotta be a pliable funnel. Get it through. What I heard, I'm pretty sure I saw this online. One started our the human body. Drew, did you know, has 22 miles of intestines? Did you know that? If you stretch it all out, 22 miles long.
I mean, I think it's a lot less than that.
That's why it takes. That's why it takes so long to poop.
But there's a surprising amount. Yes.
Yeah, 22 miles. I saw it on that geo. Dot geo.
They lied to you. Why was not Nat? Was it Nat Geo? N A T G I O.
N A T
G I O. Nat Geo.
Yeah.
Wrong Nat Geo, bro.
Yeah, it's my friend Nat Geo. It's his website, Nat.
You went Geo.
No.
National Geographic.
No, it's my Italian friend Nat Geo, who has a website natgeo.geo, and he puts up nature facts.
Yeah. He's lying to you.
Why would he lie about the length of intestines with us?
He's a flat earther, isn't he?
No. He is decidedly not a flat earther. He does believe in the Aristotle cave paintings, the shadows on the wall. The shadows on the wall thing, if you're in a cave and you see the shadows on the wall, so that's what he believes in. So that it's simulation theory.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So that's the end of the episode.
Cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah, it's over. That's episode 299. We'll be back with episode 300 next week. We have a guest scheduled.
Yes, we do.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully also the Crespiso randomizer will be, the new one will be updated and it'll be here. I'll check in on my Craigslist doctor.
We'll see.
And in the meantime, I'll start working on that Squidmen from Mars script.
Craigslist
PhD, yeah. Squidmen from Mars.
Speaking of Squidmen from Mars.
Craigslist PhD.
Harvey Birdman's coming back, Chris.
Is he really now?
New episodes.
That's fun.
Stephen Colbert is still doing the voice.
He better be doing the voice. He's the voice.
Ha ha!
It's good stuff. I do love that show.
I know.
That's really good stuff. All
it's
right.
Coming back.
There you go.
Just say no.
That's your Drusick Cogburn heads up of the week.
Cartoon update
heads up of the week. Very, very late segment. I like that. Technically the show's over, but still, you threw a segment in there. That's how much Drew cares, people. Don't let Drew fool you into this whole he doesn't care thing.
He cares.
He cares deeply.
Very little.
Very deeply.
Very little. Very,
from the bottom
of his bottom.
Of his bottom. Deep inside. Where he's soft like a woman. Right? Yep.
Wrong.
Right?
Wrong.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. That's it. Show's over. Go home. Stop listening. So stop listening now.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
You don't have to go home, but I had the time of my life. No?
No.
All right.